AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Peter King. The numbers are inevitably rising hour by hour, and Israel says the death toll there is now more than 1,400. On the ninth day of fighting, the first funerals have been held in Israel. The Gaza Health Ministry says more than 2,400 people have been killed on its side of the border. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's shuttle diplomacy has come up with a big win. He says Egypt has agreed to open a border with Gaza as an escape route and to get humanitarian aid in.
Rafah will be open. We're putting in place with the United Nations, with Egypt, with Israel, with others, the mechanism by which to get the assistance in and to get it to the people who need it.
The U.S. has sent a second carrier group to the Eastern Mediterranean. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
Second carrier strike force just underscores the United States' determination to try to deter an expansion of this particular conflict. A carrier strike force is 100,000 tons of American diplomacy sitting off your shore looking at you. And that will not be lost on the Iranians. That will not be lost on Hezbollah.
The Israeli military says it's detained more than 200 Hamas members since the fighting began. It's also contacted families of 155 people taken hostage by Hamas. There have been dozens of protests by supporters of both sides around the world and in this country this weekend. KCTV's Grace Smith is in Kansas City, Missouri.
Many Palestinians out here rallying today told me they are fighting for basic human rights for their people and for peace. One man telling me that his family has died during this war and the ones who are alive have been stripped of everything.
Before the situation started, things were horrible. Can you imagine how things are right now?
Ohio Republican Jim Jordan wants to be the next House Speaker. Not even a GOP majority can guarantee that he'll get it. The seat has been vacant for nearly 2 weeks. Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries tells NBC's Meet the Press it's time for the House to move forward.
We have not identified any candidate on the other side of the aisle because our focus is not on the individual. It's on the institution of Congress and the best interests of the American people.
The vote will come on Tuesday. Another strong earthquake has hit western Afghanistan, the BBC's Anbarasan Ethrajan.
It was followed by an aftershock. Panicked residents ran from the homes. Many residents have been sleeping in the open since last week's earthquakes, which flattened several villages in remote areas.
In those earlier earthquakes, more than 1,300 people were killed. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 40 tonight under overcast skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 55. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Mainly clear skies again. Tomorrow night, lows around 34. High of 57. Tuesday, under partly cloudy skies. 62. Wednesday, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, May 4th. And we are live in Oshkosh at Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. A studio that is almost quite ready, but we're here anyway, broadcasting live. So a little bit of an echo in the studio. But Aaron Zommers, Kristen Lyerly, not nearly the echo from the last hour, now that we understand how microphones work in here. I trust, amazing. Aaron, things are sounding better.
Oh, yes, very much so.
and Kristen does as well. We both took care of our technical difficulties during the news break there, Kristen. How are you?
Technology. What are you going to do?
Nothing. You're just, you do trial and error. That's exactly what they do here. But again, lovely to be here in Oshkosh. We've talked a few times with Todd Alba and some of the other talk show hosts that when we get more of these Civic Media studios constructed, we're going to do a tour. And Lyerly, we're dragging you along with us. We're
yes.
You know, like a couple of days in Oshkosh, a couple of days in Green Bay, a couple of days in Wausau, you know, Wisconsin Rapids. We're just going to, and of course, Chippewa Falls, where I can say we're not on the air yet, but very, very soon. And again, much like some of these other studios, it's going to be in an old, old building that is being remodeled beautifully. And I can't wait to show you where we're at in downtown Chippewa Falls when we sign on in a couple of weeks.
I'm excited about the Oshkosh station because downtown Oshkosh, there are so many beautiful old buildings. I mean, Oshkosh mm-hmm. has a really storied history. So how neat that you found this space. And I was down by the Green Bay station the other day. That's really coming along. It's great to see the signage out there. It's really prominent. Very exciting.
It is. It's gorgeous. And as I mentioned last hour, there's a big Oshkosh Air Support sticker in the window, but there's also a little sticker there about this being a Main Street bounce back business. One of
yes.
those programs from Governor Evers where up to 10,000 businesses are getting $10,000 a piece to, but only if they're moving into or remodeling space in an otherwise vacant storefront, which is just what you want. You know, we don't need to send $3 billion to one company, and somebody figured it out. And now the legislature is going to go and cut it. But, you know, at least it got to do some good while Governor Evers was controlling those purse strings.
Yeah, this is an exciting time, I think, as we're watching what's happening with the budget process and seeing what the governor put out there and then what's happening with the legislature. And I mean, the way that they just right away took out 500 things that Wisconsinites care about, but just boom, gone.
Just gone. Yeah. And with saying, well, we don't even want to talk about it anymore. You know, just like bullies. Let's see. I wanted to cover a couple things with you. One is... And the court case begins today on the 1849 abortion ban. After months of discussion and little movement in the courts, arguments begin in Dane County Circuit Court. We talked to Diane Welsh, attorney, the other day, who is the attorney for the interveners in the case, which include yourself. And so this has to feel like a bit of a landmark day for you.
It really does. It's not going to end here. It's likely not going to end here. This really is just where they address the motion to dismiss from DA Ermansky from Sheboygan County. But, you know, it's great to see some movement. We're all looking forward to some resolution here and an understanding of whether this law truly is enforceable. It's causing such a chilling effect across the state for doctors who are taking care of patients, midwives, nurse practitioners, PAs. I mean, healthcare providers don't know what to do. Patients don't know what kind of care that they can receive. So we really need clarity. And this is the first step toward that.
It truly is. And that really what this comes down to, for folks that missed this when we talked to Diane Welsh, is that we have been saying that the state is under the 1849 abortion ban, and that's not really technically the case. It's that we don't know where we are, and so providers, unfortunately, are deferring to as if there were a ban because they don't want to be the guinea pig for a court case. They don't want to be arrested and charged and whatnot. And that's why the attorney general is taking this case to court, which is to say, hey, courts, tell us, are we actually governed by the 1849 ban, or is a 1985 law, is that the one that's in effect, which actually protects abortion rights until viability around 24 weeks or so? And right now there's this legal ambiguity, like you said, that is it's just affecting you, your patients, and it's frankly affecting, you know, the state of healthcare in Wisconsin.
And it's not just a little punishment. This is a punishment that comes with a felony and 6 years in jail, potentially. And that will ruin a healthcare provider's record. I mean, patients are safe. To be very, very clear, if you are a patient seeking care, you cannot be penalized. So please go out there and get the care that you need. That's critical. But for those of us who are providing care, a felony charge for actually just doing the right thing and taking care of our patients, that's really daunting. And then if you think about the other effects of criminalizing medical care, putting doctors in jail for taking care of their patients, where does it go next? So this really is a very scary situation. And again, we're really looking forward to some resolution here so that we can start moving forward and taking care of people in Wisconsin.
And it really is telling that the party that once told us they were about individual freedom and local control is interfering in the most intimate ways in an exam room, but also, as we're going to discover after the break and after a weather update, ways that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants state government to interfere with local governments, right down to the level of dictating quotas for traffic tickets. That's what's actually in this new Republican plan for shared revenue. We'll talk about that and a little bit more about Star Wars Day as well. Coming up after this break, this is Up North News Radio for Thursday.
My name is Jim Conroy, and I am the CEO at Boot Barn. As we celebrate 45 years supporting the Western community, we have been reflecting on the American Cowboys' incredible influence on our nation. Through tenacity and grit, they persevere to keep the cowboy legacy alive while feeding families across the world. It speaks to the strength and spirit of our country, and we are honored to support this proud heritage. Thank you for sharing the West with us for 45 years.
When you think of pizza, do you think of a ham roll-up pizza? This off-the-wall culinary masterpiece will keep you coming back. Who makes this fresh, mouth-watering pizza? Club Forest Bar and Grill on Highway 54. Their ham roll-up pizza features ham and pickles with a cream cheese sauce. Yum! Don't sit in the kitchen and cook during the next pregame. Call Club Forest Bar and Grill, 715-345-1220, and let them do the work for you. Club Forest Bar and Grill, proud supporters of Pet of the Week with James Maylock, every Thursday at 9 a.m.
Youth sports are community sports. When you run into an old friend while you're cheering on your local team,
hi there,
or making your way back to your seat and asking what you missed,
miss.
Youth Athletics brings the community together. Help us support local high school and amateur sports by joining our team of amazing sponsors. Call Ashley today at 715-496-0710. That's 715-496-0710. And join us as we continue to keep our community connected.
Do you have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise Financial Advisors Shannon Moon and Jason Kramer can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Shannon and Jason today at 715-421-2250. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. A proud sponsor of Badger Football.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I don't necessarily want the people of Weatherology to take this the wrong way that we're playing the Imperial March here just before the weathercast, but it's Star Wars Day. It may the 4th be with you. You get that? So it has to go someplace. Kristen, Star Wars fan? Yay or nay?
Not really.
Okay, well, we're going to shut your camera off here, and I'm going to talk to you.
We're lightsaber fans at my house, though.
We're lightsaber fans. Okay, well, we got that going for us. All right. In sports, the Rockies beat the Brewers again 7-1 last night. Eric Lauer pitched into the fifth inning, 4 hits, 4 runs, all unearned. They will play again this afternoon before heading to San Francisco. And you can hear the Brewers right here on this station where I'm sitting, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM. Also news from the center out of Richland Center. And all along the state, you can hear us. You can also follow the Brewers as we cover them on shows, wonderful radio shows like this that not only give you the score, tell you the weather. Jennifer Fuchitsky is here to tell us more about how the forecast is looking. It's here in Oshkosh. It's mild. It's gorgeous. And looking forward to seeing, I know we've got some ups and downs coming into the weekend. Jennifer, good morning, and tell us all about it.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's kind of mild here for today. Looking at that warm front that's really pushing through the state today, above average for most as the state looks, as the state should be around the low to mid-60s. 70, low 70s in the central and southern parts of the state. A little bit cooler towards the lakefront, though, around the upper 50s for Milwaukee. Low to mid 70s from Richland Center up to the west central parts of Wisconsin. Sunny skies today for nearly everyone, except around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids over to Oshkosh. Looking at cloud cover over there and a slight chance for some areas of rain. Then that chance for rain continues through tonight in those areas, but then a chance for rain across the state for Friday tomorrow. For the most part, highs for tomorrow look to be relatively similar to today for the bottom half of the state. A little bit cooling, a little bit cooler, a little bit more towards Wausau over to Amory and Baldwin as the cold front pushes through. Then it looks like a stationary front actually comes in and sticks around for the weekend with continued chances for showers and thunderstorms all across the board both Saturday and Sunday. Not all day washouts, but on and off again chances for those rain showers in. But at least looking at temperatures expected to be either at or slightly above those seasonal averages for this time of the year. So it really doesn't look like we'll be seeing too much below average temperatures here for the rest of the work week and even into the weekend.
Sounds great. Jennifer, thank you very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again later on. Have a great day.
You too.
Let's get back to talking with Dr. Lyerly, and Aaron Zommers is with us as well. We were talking a bit ago, Kristen, about the party that used to say they were all about, you know, big or small government and local control and all that, you know, getting into the exam rooms. It is amazing to read the new bill that they, you know, are saying will beef up the support that state government gives to local governments. It's called, you know, shared revenue. But it has, we already knew some strings were attached, but thanks to AJ Bideport over at CBS 58 in Milwaukee, give a listen to some of what's in the fine print of this. In one section of the bill, cities and counties could get a 15% in state funding if they fail to meet certain criteria, which includes having local law enforcement agencies maintain the number of arrests they make and the number of tickets they write, essentially putting in quotas.
Yeah, I can tell you that police are not going to like that. No. I mean, obviously municipalities are not going to like that, but who does that actually serve? I don't understand.
It serves a talking point that, you know, that they're all about law and order. But if you maintain the same number of arrests, all that does is let them say, oh, crime is still out of hand. You need to keep us in charge, when they're the ones essentially. Imagine being pulled over and somebody else had posted this on social media saying, well, sir, you were only going 1 mile, 1 mile an hour above the limit, but I got to write you a ticket, you know, because I've got a quota to fill. Who wants to put officers in that spot?
Well, nobody wants anything to be like, that's terrible. Oh, that's so frustrating.
Right. And the Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride talked about the language again in this CBS 58 report. He said, for a city that allocates 25% of its budget to police, 25% to fire, 25% to public works, if you're forced to maintain police staffing levels no matter what, and you get inflation coming in, that's going to lead to cuts in all these other places. It doesn't solve anything. This is not a serious proposal. This is a political document.
I think Obi-Wan Kenobi has a good way to talk about it.
So uncivilized.
We could use some more of that rather than what we're getting here. Again, the dictating of, you know, what a doctor has to do or what a local government has to do, and, you know, to just feed the talking points and try to win power on that is simply stunning. Not just look, people are crass and political all the time, but at some point you think you'd actually want to take your power seriously and govern reasonably rather than just bring up screwball stuff like this.
Uncle Pat, how long has it been since the state legislature controlled by Republicans has increased shared revenue that goes to the municipalities?
Oh, God, I don't. That's a great question, Kristen.
I think it's been like 12 years. Yeah. I think it's been stale for 12 years. So the dollars.
Well, a lot of things have been stale for 12 years. Yeah.
So the dollars going to every municipality to fund things like police and fire and EMS have been the same over the last 12 years. I don't know about you, but my expenses have gone up. Inflation has been kind of, you know, impactful. Mm-hmm. And they've had to figure it out. And they've done that because when local officials can make those decisions locally for what local people need, that is the most effective way to govern. That's the whole reason that we elect local officials. So for the state to be saying that you have to do it this way does not serve local people in Wisconsin.
So that's the state and local view on it. Now over on the federal side, you still have the country coming closer and closer to its debt limit. And if Republicans allow the country to default, it's going to lead to an estimated 8 million job losses, an instant recession. You're all going to feel it in your retirement accounts and portfolios. It's going to be a bad thing. And yet they're perfectly willing to play chicken with this. And it got me to wondering, I'm seeing more and more speculation. This gets rather in the weeds, but I'm one of those who does not believe there should even be a debt limit. It's like an imaginary thing that's mm-hmm. made up. And while no president has yet done this, I really think President Biden's going to be the one that, if next week's meeting doesn't go well with congressional Republicans, he's just going to basically ignore the debt ceiling, because the 14th Amendment to the Constitution says the United States shall not default on its debts. So in some ways, I'm like, I don't even know what we're talking about here, you know?
The Constitution.
You know, that thing.
You're right.
That they're originalists on. They are originalists on this. They're like, what did the Founding Fathers intend? Well, the Founding Fathers put in here, the government shall not default on its debts, which, look, that doesn't mean there won't be some impact from that as well, mm-hmm. but not nearly the impact of what a default would do. And this game of chicken to get these cuts. Voss is looking for cuts at the local level to everything except police, basically. And congressional Republicans want cuts to, you know, a host of things, to healthcare programs, to veterans programs, to, you know, to the tax credits you'd get from energy, from the forgiveness of student loan debt, all kinds of things that assist Americans would just go away, because we now have a party that doesn't have a difference in governing. They don't want to govern. They want to just shrink. They're not anti-governing. They're anti-government itself.
And let's remember how we got here with our national debt. This wasn't a Democrat thing, and it wasn't a Republican thing. I mean, really, when you look at the numbers over all of the administrations that have contributed to this debt, it's been pretty even. So this is all of our problem, and it came from all of us.
Though not lately, so much of this is the 2017 massive tax cut for the upper ends of the spectrum. And Republicans aren't talking about rolling back a dime of that. And that's the part that is so insulting, is that that is the thing that has really piled on the debt. And three times during the Trump administration, they didn't blink an eye about raising the debt ceiling. But now with a, you know, a Democrat in the White House, much like when Obama was there, now they want to have this showdown on cutting spending to Americans, but they don't want to give any ground on, you know, tax cuts to the very rich. I mean, they're giving away the game and somehow thinking that if they play chicken long enough, President Biden will save them from themselves and agree to some cuts. I hope he doesn't. I hope he says, sorry, kids, the, you know, people say he's going to invoke the 14th Amendment. You don't invoke the 14th. It's just there. It's it. It's, it exists. And he just says, nah, I'm not playing along with you kids, you know?
That 2017 tax cut still puzzles me. Like, they knew it. They knew that they were giving the rich this giant tax cut. They knew that they were not balancing the budget, which is something that, I don't know about you, Pat, but I have money coming in, money going out. I have to think about, you know, not spending more than I earn. But they knew that they were doing that. And I remember watching a press conference with Trump, and he said, well, we're just going to grow the economy, when the economy was already chugging along at record numbers. So this was just a total nonsensical political thing that has gotten us into this situation. And who is suffering? Us.
Mm-hmm. And I it's one of my puzzlements about, you know, national media, that they're not called on it more aggressively for the for either the hypocrisy or for the harm that they're doing. It ranks right up there with, and I'm sorry, Mark Jacob is off this week. Tomorrow, he and I would, our heads would explode talking about how CNN is basically turning over the airwaves to Donald Trump for, what, an hour next week, I think, for some kind of a town hall. Just so, so reckless.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Mark from Prairie du Sac wants to join us and chime in here quick. Mark, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Good morning, guys, and thank you for talking about the 14th Amendment. Again, the Constitution is the Constitution, and that's what it says. Debt shall not be questioned. It amazes me for the cuts that these Republicans want to do, eliminating things from the budget. Like, the one that really got me is, I think it was Dewey Strobel, was yapping about, oh, we can't afford paying for the free lunches for the children yet. Correct me if I'm wrong, but these guys, when they get their per diem, we're paying for their lunch.
We do. We pay for their meals, but they won't pay meals for kids.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, that it is just, there's another thing that he yapped about too, is that they'll cut, you know, we can't afford this. We're taking this out of the budget. And how you can run a campaign on taking food out of the mouths of children is just, is beyond me. I mean, these guys brag about it, and I just, you know, that if you, where are their hearts? I mean, that are the hearts, are their hearts made of stone or unmelting glass, like the old Snow Queen? That from
it does make you wonder. Yep, Mark, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for chiming in, Kristen. We've got hometown health coming up in a few minutes. Set us up. We're talking about financial health.
We are. Isn't that crazy how it just dovetails so nicely into what we're talking about right now? We're going to be joined by Kristen Alfheim from Appleton. She is just incredible, and she's been doing some really important work here in the state. So it's going to be a great conversation. Stick around.
All right. Well, we will do just that. And then when that is all done, on this Star Wars Day, we will talk to Luke. I am your father, Mathers. And which some days it really feels like it. He's the son I never had, or the son that I forgot that I had. We'll be back. Wait, that's little Pat. Never mind. We'll be back. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 40 tonight under overcast skies, winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 55 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow night, lows around 34. High of 57 Tuesday under partly cloudy skies. 62 Wednesday, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59. Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 40 tonight under overcast skies, winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 55 tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow night, lows around 34. High of 57 Tuesday under partly cloudy skies. 62 Wednesday, chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
letting Kristen pick bumper music now, and I think she's doing a great job. We're just adding more and more duty. First, we made you chief morale officer. Now you're a fine purveyor of bumper music for us. What do you do?
It's fun. I actually, as I'm listening to tunes, I'm thinking, oh, that would be good bumper music.
Very nice.
And then I send you a text.
And you do. And I just say, yes, ma'am, whatever you need. So less work for me. I'll take it. This is Hometown Health, as we do most Thursdays at 7:30, where Dr. Lyerly helps introduce us to somebody whose job involves improving community health in some way, shape, or form. And this time it's about financial health. And so, Kristen, tell us why you picked that and set up and welcome our guest.
Well, this Kristen is so excited to welcome another Kristen who just happens to be a retirement income certified professional, an estate planning educator, a municipal leader in Appleton, and dare I say, a Wisconsin Democratic Party up and comer. She's a former candidate for state Senate. Kristen Elfheim, welcome.
Kristen, good morning.
Good morning to you too. Good to see your faces.
You as well.
Right back at you. Yeah. Now, we're focusing on financial wellness this morning. So in order to be financially well, you really have to be financially literate. What
Yes.
does that mean? And how are Wisconsinites doing with regards to financial literacy?
Horribly. I'll just kick that out right away. You know, I've been in this business since 1999. And I spent the bulk of my career educating or teaching agents and advisors how to be agents and advisors. So I understand going from a zero knowledge base up to where you need to be. I switched over about 5 years ago into just doing estate planning and working with pre-retirees. And what I can tell you is the lack of knowledge on the basics of tax and strategies that are out there is truly zero. The people just don't know, not to say that nobody does, but the amount of lack of knowledge is just really outstanding. So we have to start doing something. And my biggest issue is it's generational. So if I'm talking to a 72-year-old that really had no idea what they were doing, that means they probably have a 52-year-old that has no idea what they're doing. And that 52-year-old probably has a 30-year-old that has no idea what they're doing. And guess what? That 30-year-old has a 2-year-old that's going to have no idea what they're doing. So we have to start talking about it.
So do you think that this is a new problem? I mean, things have obviously gotten much more complicated over time. When you look at all the different retirement options, you know, you've got IRAs and Roth IRAs and 401ks and all of these complicated vehicles. So for the 72-year-old, it was a different situation than it was for the 30-year-old.
Well, it's a different situation for everybody. You have to remember back in, you know, up until the late or the early 90s, people would retire with pensions. So the generations before us didn't really have to worry about this. My grandfather had church bonds in an envelope in his freezer. He had CDs, he had church bonds, and he had a pension, he had Social Security, and he lived happily ever after. That's not the case anymore. So it isn't a matter of necessarily us losing it over time. It's that we never had to focus on it, because it was done for us. It was very automatic. So there's really a shortage of information, because this is a new thing. All of this is new. 401ks are new, if you think about it. So there, yes, it's a dynamic industry. There's a lot of discussion to be had, but a lot of it is not people's fault. Our grandfathers never had to question it.
No, but
a handful of normals.
But our grandfathers and grandmothers also knew that they had something called a passbook savings account. And at that savings account, if you just put some money in there, you didn't need IRAs and everything else. If you just put it in the bank, in your local bank, what were you going to get? 5%. You know what you get now from your bank? You get a big old goose egg. If you're lucky, you maybe get what? 0.03% or something like that. So the marketplace itself has kind of foisted that on all of us to look for ways. It's turned our financial planning in some ways into a casino, that you're looking for this return on investment and everything else. So there is this need for more knowledge. So, you know, now that we've set up why there is this need, you know, because we can't change the marketplace. We can't change the way things are. We're not bringing pensions back next week, unfortunately. And I could go off, you know, for a while on that, but we have what we have. We need experts like you to do that. And so when you look at it from, say, a public health level, what are the kinds of things that we can do to improve our financial literacy?
Well, I think we have to start getting this in schools. Again, it would be easy to say we should work on this at home, but if the people at home don't know how to teach or what to teach, or heaven forbid, they've bought into a certain concept that is not necessarily holistic, it's not good for us. So really, I'm a believer in getting conversations going, getting financial literacy going in schools as early as we can and ongoing, because there is no option but to play with money as we become adults. We don't have an option. So we have to start making understanding how to manage ourselves from the schools on. I think a financial literacy, you know, some type of mandate going in, adding it into math class, something that starts the vocabulary young when we're able to, the concepts, and then advance it so that we can understand how to control ourselves in the future.
How do we do that?
Well, it seems to be a challenge. I've been for 10 years trying to get financial literacy part of the public school, actually all school curriculum for 10 years. 10 years! And the challenge is, there's always a challenge, right? The challenge is, who's going to pay for it? How are we going to add it in? All of these things are challenges. I understand that and I respect that. I think that schools must be funded adequately. But we can't keep pushing the problem down the line. It's already been over a decade and we haven't done it. Now, there are some voluntary programs out there, but I'm a big supporter of, now is the time to get this financial literacy. It's a half a credit. It's a start. But the Assembly Bill on Financial Literacy can get pushed through, even if that means they have to compromise. Governor Evers wants to increase spending on education. Awesome. We need that. You all know that. The Republicans want to push through financial literacy. Can't we find a way to make that work together?
And yet, the governor put that in his budget proposal, and Republicans took it out this week.
Right, I know, it's ridiculous, and yet they both want it. I'm so tired of the nonsense.
We've been hearing this from Republican legislators, like you said, for over a decade. I mean, wait, I was in there 15 years ago, and they were talking about it then, and I agreed with them then. But yeah. Apparently, it has to be done out of the goodness of, you know, the private sector, who's going to come in and do it. I don't know if that's what they're looking for, but stop telling us you want financial literacy that our kids need to learn while you're saying no to the tools to get them there.
Yeah. And there are, I mean, I'm not against the concept of, there are outside providers that have it all ready to go. So the challenge of, it's going to take money to develop the curriculum and this and that, that's not really true. So I don't think it needs as much funding as could, you know, as being argued, but listen, we ask for, I think, a credit and a half of Phi Ed in order to graduate high school. And we have a half a credit for health, no credits for financial literacy. None.
All of the common sense. Yeah, all of the common sense stuff that we need to be able to live our lives in this complex environment. This is really, it's so important. And there's a bill. There's a bill, AB 109. It's the Mandated Financial Literacy in Schools bill. And you've been a real proponent of this bill. Can you talk a little bit about the contents of the bill?
Yeah, again, we've been working on this for about 10 years, and it's been changed. Last year, it got close. The contention was it was a full credit, and that might be too much to ask for. So this year, the sponsors cut it down to a half. It really just says it's necessary. To graduate from high school, it will be necessary to take a half a credit of this financial literacy program. And from there, the parameters are not perfectly set, let's be honest. But we want to have the baseline of education. There are third parties that have these programs ready to go. You could just literally pump them in any teacher. The challenge is where to put them and the funding on that. And again, as I testified in Madison, it's not for me to say how you're going to make it happen, but I am the one down here telling you we need it desperately. So somehow, some way, get over it and make it happen. We have got to get the bill in, so then we can solve the problem of how we're going to do it. But first we have to say yes.
Yes. And you said the bill is close.
The bill
so
is close.
Here's, So here's my question. On Hometown Health, we're always thinking about the intersection of health, including financial health and politics, with a focus on building community. And that means that this is an opportunity for our listeners to get engaged and to do some advocacy work of their own in their own communities. So how can our listeners get involved here?
Yeah, this is one that I think we can help. I think that our base on this station tends to have a lean, and and that lean is pro-education, right? Mm-hmm. And I am pro-education, and most of you listening are pro-education. So I'm asking you to reach out to your representatives, to your senators, whatever side they may be on, and even the ones you love, they'll let you love, and tell them the importance. We must be able to get it through and make it part of our curriculum in order to then move forward and start having discussions about the continuing conversation of funding. We can't wait. We have to get it in there and work together. So we need you to reach out to your locals, whether they're blue, whether they're red, whether they're purple, whether they're rainbow. I don't care. Everyone needs to hear from us that we believe the need for financial literacy comes first. Let's get it on our docket. And then let's start solving the problem, making sure there's enough dollars around to take care of everybody in the future.
Spoken like a former candidate, spoken what? Like a potential future candidate, that instead of just caterwauling, why don't we actually work on substantive ways to move forward that are not, they're neither Democratic nor Republican.
Exactly my point. This is just common sense. What's good for the, this is about people, right? There is not a single child in this state that would not benefit from this program. Not one. And if you think this is just a low-income issue, you're wrong. Oh, the more money that's out there, the less concern for it that exists, which means just as much education is needed in that category. Every child, every future resident needs it.
Let's take it to a real-world level in this day and age. Obviously, one piece of advice you could give people would be to consult with a financial planner, talk to an expert about it. But when you do talk to folks, is there like a most common mistake or a most common fix that a lot of households can make or do?
I think the most common mistake that I see is actually the 401k bombs. It's a tax issue. Now, don't get me wrong. Love retirement. Love automatic contributions into retirement plans. Love all the options. Love free money given from a company to add to yours. All of that is good, and we should be taking advantage. But what we don't realize is the consequence of all of our money being in the bucket of don't touch it till you're after 59 and a half, and it's all going to be taxable then. So the strategizing of different types of money, different tax registration classes, what you can use when, and then how to map that out through time. The distribution of a retirement plan, in my opinion, is ignored. You're ignoring what money will I spend when. And if the only type of money you have is a great big or medium or small 401k, that constricts the options that you have in terms of retirement, whether you want to go early, whether you want to make sure it's there long. Everything is constrained by the tax registration class. So education in terms of what's out there, what is your situation? There is no generic plan for retirement distribution planning. It's, in my opinion, just as much art as it is science. But you have to start with a foundation of broader buckets so that you have the options to do what you need to when the time comes, and people don't realize it. They just smash it all into their 401k. And then I got to figure out how to get it all out without causing chaos.
I think she'd make I think I have a new expert to go to. So here, take my money.
What else you want to talk about? What else you want to talk about? This is fun.
Well, we're gonna have to do this again then. So you can reach Kristen Alfheim on Facebook and in LinkedIn in those ways. And Kristen Lyerly, thanks for finding your friend Kristen Alfheim to bring her in today.
How can I not, when I know that there is a human being like Kristen Alfheim out there in the world, how can I not help to elevate this really critically important message? You mm-hmm. have to plan for your future financial life. You can't just rely on the government and think it's all going to be okay.
Very much so. Kristen and Kristen, thanks again. Appreciate it so much. Dr. Lyle is going to stick around when we talk to Luke Mathers coming up to wrap up our conversation and talk about civic media programming into the weekend after this. Live from Oshkosh, you're up north.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Since the moment you were born, I've made 1,000 wishes. Wishes for your future. In a world that's changing fast. For all of the things you may one day do. Do play and laugh. Do win and lose. Do learn from your mistakes. And challenge yourself to grow. Do not be afraid. Or make decisions based in fear. Do it all with confidence and with kindness and strength. Do call your mom and ask her for advice. And always do your best to remember that no matter what you do in this life,
thank you.
What matters to me is that you keep doing. I love you always, Mom. Inspire kids to do at 4-H.org.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. Unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All right, we've got to wrap up this Star Wars day, of course, with the big victory scene. And actually, it's called the Throne Room, is what this particular music cut is called, which I don't think was very artfully named, because I think maybe in the UK, the throne room is called one thing. Charles is going to use that in a couple of days here.
Right.
The throne room here comes with a different meaning, which brings us to Luke Mathers. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. I'm good. Yourself? It's when they're getting their medals. They're in the throne. They're walking down the
I get it.
Halls.
I get it. Yeah.
It's fitting. Don't mess with John Williams. Come on. Like that, he can name whatever he wants, whatever he wants.
I'm not. I want to turn the show over to Aaron from this point on, because you should have heard all of his Star Wars knowledge during the first hour. He did. And to his great credit, he didn't just hit you right in the face with the Luke, I am your father soundbite. He could have.
I am
your father.
There we go.
Yeah, I've gotten it once or twice.
Looks great. You've never heard that before. Never, ever.
Just a couple times.
Yeah.
Growing up, my favorite was my mom. If I missed a call, that's how she would leave the voicemails. She would be like doing the Vader voice and Luke, this is your mother.
No. No. Tell me you saved at least one of those.
Oh, I think that was like six phones ago. So I don't think so. But that was definitely one of her favorite little lines to do when I wasn't answering my cell phone.
That is awesome. So like I said, Aaron has all kinds of expertise. Where do we find you on the Star Wars spectrum of fandom?
Pretty casual fan in that one. I'm a fan, but not diehard knowing all of the extended cuts. I'm pretty bad, actually. I haven't even got around to seeing Rogue One yet, or some of these spinoffs with the Obi-Wan.
Yeah, I haven't seen Solo. I highly recommend Rogue One. I think that's a
really everybody good tells movie. Me, but I've been there's just a couple, two, three things happening in my life. I haven't been sitting around a whole lot of movies.
I totally get that. But when you realize, as the movie gets on, that it basically is the stuff that takes place immediately before the original Star Wars movie in 1977, it adds a degree of, anticipation to it all. All right, so we'll get off of that. Now I feel like we need a Star Trek day. I'm sure there's Trekkies out there going, hey, wait a minute.
I think there is
Kirk,
one.
Spock, the whole gang out there. So
with all of the different days there are out there,
there's got to be a Star Trek day.
There is a Star Trek day.
Yes. This friend that I was talking to yesterday who lives here in Oshkosh, she was asking, because I really liked Star Trek Next Generation, she assumed I was watching Picard. And I told her, no, I got a couple of episodes in, and it was actually, not that I'm entirely against, violence, but it was actually a little bit more violent. The thing about Star Trek was, they were always solving these. It was much more cerebral, There aren't lightsabers in Star Trek. And this one kind of wasn't that. So
it's a lot more logic in
it's only logical.
The Vulcan, the Vulcan way. Yeah.
Yes. The Vulcan mind melder, as we call it, here, being a wife, where they know what you're thinking. Look at Kristen, didn't take the bait on that at all. Wow.
You're all cerebral with the Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Yeah, we've
prefer the logical, really thought-oriented.
No, give me the lightsabers every day. I'm all about the lightsabers, the Force.
I was waiting for you to chip in and go, wait a minute, wait, where's rom-com day? Why do we have to do science fiction all the time?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm a documentary gal. I'll watch documentaries all day long, especially if they're about music.
Oh, I know a couple of people that really love music document. Do you have a favorite? And I have one in my mind. Do you have a favorite?
The Foo Fighters did a whole series where they went to different cities and they explored the history of those cities. And then they produced a song in that city with a local legend. That's my favorite.
I guess I thought, and maybe it's just because I'm older, I thought for sure you would have gone with the Eagles documentary.
I do like the Eagles, yeah.
I mean, that one, it's just stellar. I liked one that Chicago did, but of course it was self-made, so it was very fluffy. Luke, Aaron, either one of you have a favorite music documentary?
I haven't really been big on. I like documentaries. Music documentaries haven't been. I watched the political. I like the everything around the food like system. There were several docuseries on Netflix with. Mm-hmm. It's called Rotten. Oh, like those things, I could sit and watch for hours. But I'll have to see the Foo Fighters one. Dave Grohl's The Storyteller was my favorite book that I read last year, and it was tremendous. And so I assume that the Foo Fighters documentary is very good as well then, so I'm going to have to check that one out.
All right, Aaron?
Do it.
Yeah, for me, it is The Decline of Western Civilization. yes, that is a music documentary. It's about the punk scene in the late 70s and early 80s, and it just shows such a good picture, such an inside look at what it was like to either be in a punk band at that time or go to those shows. And you can really see all the different clashing strong personalities and why some of those people turned out the way they did.
Got it. Okay. Well, look at all these recommendations we've given to folks. And now we turn to what Mr. Mathers normally joins us for, is to tell us that there are so many other fine programs along the Civic Media Radio Network, including his own Dueling Tangents in the afternoon. The one thing you mention all the time that you don't have to this time is because I'm here at Oshkosh Air Support. We've mentioned a time or two, this is where you hear Brewers baseball. So, and again, great studio. Can't wait till the